Hey everyone, it is Between the Truth, Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up Here with Francine on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. Today, as every day, I am joined by my co-host, Chad. Hello, Chadster. How are you today?
What's up, Queen of Extreme? I'm happy to be back with you once again inside the Kingdom of Extreme.
Yeah, that's a nice little ring to it.
Eyes Up Here Studio, Kingdom of Extreme. What are you going to do? Either one.
You know, they are all the same to me.
All the same.
We're recording today, and I came up with a brilliant idea for an episode or two. We're going to see how far we can get. This is probably going to be a two-parter, just to let you guys know. But Vince McMahon has been in the news a lot recently, and you guys seem to like when we talk about Vince and we talk about scandal. So we're going to put the two together. And they're no stranger to each other, really. But we went down the rabbit hole on this episode. And we are going to talk about some of the allegations against Vince McMahon and the WWF/WWE. What do you think about that?
There's plenty of them. So this will not be a part of your eventual WWE Hall of Fame speech.
My speech is getting cut shorter and shorter every broadcast that I do. And I'm okay with that because, I hold no punches. I speak my truth and I tell it how I feel, that's just me. That's what makes me me. So if you don't like it, get the hell out of here. That's what I say.
Look, it's a pretty extensive history. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But whether you started watching wrestling in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, or the 2020s, Vince McMahon was always a constant. But you always heard stuff about Vince throughout that time, no matter when you started watching, because of his constant presence. There's always been stuff about Vince, period. But when you dig deep and you find out more and more and more and more, some people, it really opens your eyes. But for others, it just gives you extra detail.
If you're a casual wrestling fan and you just happen to turn on TV and you see, WWF, WWE programming, all you see is what's presented to you on television. And back then, I mean, the internet was out, but it wasn't like social media and all this stuff and all the sharing. And so you had to like kind of dig a little deeper back in the day to find dirt out, unless, you read the sheets, which you know how I feel about the sheets. They're not my best friend. But it's funny how the name Vince McMahon just seems to be a magnet to scandals. And I'm going to go on the record right now and say everything that we're going to talk about is allegedly true or allegedly out. It's out there. It's been reported on. We're not the first to break the news. I mean, we're going back. The first story we have is 1992. So we're going back years and years and years. So
even before that, one is from 86, but reported on in 92.
92, so. Right. But I'm just saying when it came to light. But it, we're not, this isn't breaking news. We're just giving our opinion on things that we found while digging for dirt, because that's the kind of reporters we are. And we're going to comment on them. And, whether they're true or not, I don't know. Again, I always say this, I was not there. I'm not privy to insider information. The opinions that Chad and I have are just based on what has already been reported on and what we found on the web. So keep that in mind. And Vince, if you're listening, just commenting on what others are saying. That's all. That's it.
You know what? That's a great little, choice of words there at the end, because we've all heard the Vince has people listening back when Vince was in power. I've been a victim of it many times in my podcasting career being on the receiving end of Vince McMahon's not happy with things that you had on your podcast. But I wonder if that's still the case. Does Vince still have people? Does Vince still have a team of people kind of sifting through the loads and loads of podcasts talking about him now, because it's outside the wrestling world. There's not, it's no longer just our little bubble of wrestling folks talking about Vince. There's different genres. There's different segments of hosts talking about this guy. But that's a great, did you ever think about that? Like, is, does he still have people with the ear to the ground talking about him?
I'm going to say yes, but how many people have commented on the stories? It would take years to go through every single podcast, YouTube video, news article. I mean, Vince McMahon is probably the biggest name that wrestling has ever seen, right?
Yeah.
The biggest. I mean, he's done it all in the business. You can't take away what he's done for wrestling. Okay. Let me just make that clear. He is a juggernaut in this sport. If it wasn't for Vince McMahon, a lot of these names wouldn't be out there. A lot of the greatest angles in the history of wrestling would not be out there. He's a legend. He's brilliant. I'll put him over for that. Behind the scenes is, you know, from everything that we've read, it's a completely different story, different person. Now, some people have said he lives his character 24/7. You know, you live the gimmick is what we like to say in the world of professional wrestling. Some people can't differentiate your character from your real life person. People have told me that Vince McMahon is Vince McMahon 24/7. I didn't know him well enough to see if there was a difference. You know what I mean? Never worked with him in the ring. So I don't know. Just going off by what the boys tell me, and I'd say about 90% of the population that I've always been encountered with say the same thing, that he is on 24/7, which... That, you know, to me, that's kind of like, is that a power trip? Is that an ego thing? Like, I don't know. But when you use your fame and your, you know, your legacy and your name in a negative light, you're going to have to expect people to comment on it. And so your question, do I think there's people out there? I know WWE has people out there, right? But now that Vince isn't involved anymore, where do these, you know, do they go to Hunter? Like, is there a specific person specifically, like, is that their job title to get reports on who's saying what? Because my God, their head would explode. Everybody was talking about Vince McMahon a month ago. Everybody knew Janelle Grant's name. It's inevitable. How could you not, if you are a reporter in the world of professional wrestling, how could you not talk about it? Right? So right. Do I think they're stooges? Yeah, I do. Maybe Vince is, now that he has more time on his hands, maybe he's the one scrolling through everything, writing notes down, you know? Yeah. Maybe he has a voodoo doll with a pin.
You, he's like, I remember her.
That girl.
God damn it, I remember her. She was from that extremely crappy wrestling.
You have so much power in this game. You have people, and he probably still has people out there, you know? But to pinpoint a specific person for what they said, my God, you know, there's a million people out there commenting. It's going to take him until he's 100 years old to go through everything. To listen to every single podcast, read every single art. Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Right. But yeah. I just wondered if he did still have somebody or a team that would sift through some of the stuff to say, hey, Vince, probably. This is what's so-and-so. Because I will say this, you know, I thought at first it was only going to be a matter of time before the floodgates open and you'd hear X superstar comments on Vince McMahon and this person comments on Vince McMahon.
I have heard that though.
I have too, but I have to say it wasn't as extensive a list as I thought it would be. It has been a good number of people, but yep. I still think people have treaded water on,
of course.
I'm going all in on commenting on it. Now there have been the folks that have, and it's been like, I don't give a shit. you know, and I think in terms of like the big name ones, I think Bret Hart probably tops that list of the ones that just came all out. I was like, look, this is what I'm saying. I have my history and I'm going to comment now on what I say. But I thought it would be more of a everyone and their mother, but I actually think that list was a lot smaller than I thought of the wrestling pundits and the superstars would comment on. And maybe they still think there's that chance that you never know. He might be back in power and I might need to be brought back for, you know, something at some point.
People are scared. People are scared to talk, especially if they're still in the industry, because like you just said, oh, maybe I'll get that call for next year's Royal Rumble, or, you know, maybe I'll get that Legends deal or whatever. And maybe you won't, you know, but if people want to tread lightly on it, that's their decision and that's fine. You know, there are certain things that I've been close-lipped about that I didn't want to give comments on. You know, some of the things aren't my business, but certainly this was a topic that I felt, you know, just for me, just people wanted to hear what I had to say. Yeah. And again, I always started with allegedly. I really don't know if it's true, but if it is, this is how I feel. And that's the way I present my comments out there. So, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of team, but again, like, I don't really know what Vince is doing these days. So is it just to know who hates him, who loves him? You know, like, what is the purpose of knowing who said what anymore if you're not involved in the game?
Yeah.
Is there really a purpose?
True.
Hey, I don't know.
He's good with the phone. We know that. He likes to use his phone. He text messages his ass off, allegedly. So, you know, it's one of those things. If he's on his phone, click that subscribe button, Vince, on iHeartRadio. We would love to have you. And,
oh, dear God,
you know, my email is available if you'd like to come on and defend yourself at some point.
Sure. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure your phone will be ringing off.
Just one more thing before we get into our list. Do you think, and this is just a speculative question, the brass now, that it's TKO and the board of directors now, and who's in charge at WWE, do you think they're looking at who's commenting on the Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant case and the stuff that's coming out, and seeing who's commenting and keeping an eye on it and tracking who says what? Do you think they even care at this point? Because they don't want anything to do with Vince McMahon. So do you think that they even really care who's commenting and who's giving their 2 cents?
There has to be a trickle down. I feel like I said it earlier. There has to be somebody who is, you know, I don't know what the title would be, their job title, but like internet something or other that, you know, pulls the stuff off of YouTube. You know, we got flagged for using 5 seconds of, you know, music or a 5 second clip. So there's guys out there that are watching this kind of stuff, or the reports are coming into them. You know what I mean? Now, for somebody to sit down again and go through every single article, every single newscast or video, that would take forever. But there might be one person who is delegated that in the office. So then they know, maybe we can't call this person. You know, let me give you an example, and I could be 100% wrong and off the mark for what I'm about to say. Okay. Once you hear this, WrestleMania will be done. Okay. WrestleCon's done. That big weekend is done right now. As we're filming, it's next weekend, just to give you a timeline. So I'm not going to say who, but somebody messaged me. Somebody sent me either a text or a DM. And they were like, did you get the call from WWE? Okay. And I said, well, no, I didn't. What's going on? And here people are getting calls to be a part of, I guess, the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, I think, a signing, and then either going to WrestleMania or going to Raw. So it's that whole thing. But I don't think you're allowed to participate in the other events. So like the Icons, the Battleground show, I think that's because Al Snow was removed.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Al's out, CW Anderson's in, which I love Al, but I love CW. So either way, they were going to get a good match with Shane, right? So certain people have been called. I was not called. And the person who was telling me this information was like, how could you not be there? You were the longest running female in that company. Like, how could they not call you? I said, I don't know. Now, is it because I've been so openly blunt about certain things and maybe the office heard? Could it be that the cease and desist was sent twice over the Queen of Extreme name? I don't know. But those are, like, as far as that goes, that's something that's mine and that I believe in. So to be punished for something like that to me is idiotic.
Right.
But, you know, maybe these other people have been closed mouths and, you know, this is their way of getting back in the company. Whereas me, maybe I'm on the shit list. Maybe my association with Shane Douglas, you know, who has been very vocal about not liking them and not liking Vince McMahon, maybe that hindered me. Like we had a long talk about it and he was like, well, you know, I overshadow you. And I go, that damn shadow never, it always irks me. It always screws me. But you know, I don't care because I'm going to be at WrestleCon for 3 days. I'm going to be at Battleground and Icons and being with people that I care about and that I love versus walking on eggshells in the back and just being nervous all weekend. I'll go for what I have. But maybe my comments did hinder my chances. I don't know. And quite frankly, I don't care. I'm happy. You know, this is my truth. This is the way that I present my show and people like it and I'm going to keep doing it. So that's that.
Yeah,
but well, maybe that's why I don't, you know, no one knows. No one knows how you get that call, how you don't get the call. I don't know. Maybe they called and I didn't pick up. If I don't know the number, I don't pick up the phone. I don't know. But you see what I'm trying to say?
Oh, absolutely. Well said. Absolutely. Look, there's no perfect way to put that. And I think you've made it as perfect as it could possibly be.
Yeah, no one knows. But I hope they have a great show. You know, WrestleMania, biggest show of the year. Lots of talent on the show. And I'm happy for those who did get the call. Yes. And, you know, Paul Heyman, genius. Congratulations.
Yes.
But nothing, I know I'm not going to be there.
Nothing says ECW like the guy that was on loan from WWF to ECW. And then went back.
Oh, stop. He was a very big part of.
No, I'm kidding. I loved Al's run in ECW. Yeah. It was awesome than ECW. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
He was on loan.
Some calls are questionable, but you know what? No hate here. No hate. You know, I'm doing what I love. I'm gonna have a great weekend. I'm very excited about it. And I hope their weekend is just as great as mine will be.
What absolutely, and it was because it was in the past, so it was fantastic.
It's in the past, but you know, I'm sure it was great for everyone involved. So there you go.
It was real and it was spectacular.
It was, yes. Yes. Anyway,
all right, moving on to this guy. God. Hang on. Okay. I still have him on my soundboard.
That guy.
Where is he? Hang on, I lowered the volume. Hang on. I still have him on my soundboard. Ready?
Yep. Yeah. 90% of talent hears those words, but actually it's Johnny saying, oh, we have nothing for you. There's nothing for you. I don't do a good Johnny, but
he could have his own couple episodes himself now.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Ace.
Anyway, let's start off with the chairman and CEO himself, Vince McMahon. The year is 1992. And he is accused of turning a blind eye to some sexual misconduct in the then WWF, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it was Titan Sports at the time.
Correct.
And it was called Titan Gate, which I never knew. I found out these stories while digging. So they were very... very strange to me to hear, but so this was about steroid abuse in the company.
It was a little bit of everything. It was about everything.
So it started with some steroid abuse. They say the center of the allegations were Pat Patterson, who was the head of wrestling operations, Terry Garvin, who was Pat Patterson's right-hand man, and ring announcer and ring crew chief Mel Phillips, who worked under Garvin.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yes. So, allegedly, Patterson and Garvin had a casting couch culture with the male wrestlers.
Correct.
Unbelievable. That, like, I knew of Pat Patterson being openly homosexual, and I've heard different stories about him hitting on talent, but I didn't really know about the casting couch. So what are your insights to this?
Well, so
you know more than I do.
Yeah, so the casting couch obviously being the, you know, the age-old Hollywood terminology, you know, but this time being used in the wrestling sense. I think a lot of it has to do with what you would call in wrestling as the push, right? You know, and also you do this for me and I'll make sure I do this for you kind of thing. Now, a lot of it has to do with whether or not people would be accepting of it. And if they were, obviously things may happen. And if they were not, obviously there's only one way to go on the card. And it is where?
Down
the card. So where this started to really come to light was they approached the wrong people and people started to speak out about it. The big one that started to come to light was an announcer by the name of Murray Hodgson. And Murray Hodgson was signed by the WWF in 1990. He had answered an ad in, I believe, you know, like Billboard magazine or Rolling Stone that said they were looking for the next WWF voice. They were looking for the next guy to be the long-term voice of the WWF. And he went through a rigorous amount of interviews, went through the whole process of trying out. And when he got signed, according to Murray Hodgson, he was approached by Pat Patterson to have some sort of liaison and turned down the advances and then was subsequently fired within a week.
All right. So what's disturbing to me about all this? I mean, the whole situation is messed up. But the way, like, apparently Phillips was grooming and molesting underage ring boys. So
yes.
When you talk about being underage, why are they letting these young children into this work environment to be with these grown adults?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and being like, you know, I guess maybe traveling or if they're just town to town, I'm not really sure how that goes. But when they say underage, what are they, like 15, 16 years old?
So that's kind of an interesting question because, Murray Hodgson was a man who denied sexual advances from another man, right?
Okay.
And there were other wrestlers who also denied advances. But now when we move over to another segment of this breakdown, it's the ring boy scandal, right?
Yeah.
That has to do with Mel Phillips, former ring announcer. And for those of us that are old school fans from the mid 80s to early 90s, Mel Phillips was like the B announcer, right? He would be the ring announcer on the house shows or a wrestling challenge backup announcer. Very famously got beat up by Terry Funk in an angle in about 1986, where Terry Funk would be taking off his stuff in the ring and he put Terry Funk's hat on. So then Terry Funk
did Terry shoot on him or
no, it was part of an angle, but it was like to establish Terry Funk was, you know, he was crazy. He would beat you up for anything. So that's Mel Phillips. Okay. What they would do was, and this is pulled from one of the more famous stories. So Tom Cole was one of the ring boys. Okay. Tom Cole would then speak out during this scandal against Mel Phillips and the WWF to say, this is what went on behind the scenes in the process with Mel Phillips and the WWF of how they would get these boys. Okay. They were not just 15 or 16. They could be younger.
Dear God.
Yes. And what they would do is they would go from town to town and they would basically, and this is, I'm pulling from an interview with Tom Cole was they would basically go into underprivileged areas and they would pull kids that came from basically homes with families of, you know, children of alcoholics, broken homes, you know, one parent households, and kids that had issues, and they would take them on the road with them. They would take them on planes. They would take them on bus trips. They would take them from town to town and say, would you like to set up the ring for the WWF at this house show? And then we'll go to, you know, we'll go from Allentown to Scranton, from Scranton to, you know, New Hope, from New Hope to Philly. And we'll do, yeah, they would take them everywhere.
Yeah, but how does one know that they are from an underprivileged house, that they only have one parent?
Well, this is what Tom Cole is telling in the interview.
But how do you know? How is that?
They go to the inner city of the
okay, you go to the inner city. What do you knock on somebody's door and say, hey, you have a 12-year-old? Hey, are you married? Oh, are you single? Oh, okay. You're a one parent household. Okay, are you poor? You want me to take your kid on the road?
Let me find the quote. Let me find his quote.
How do they know that these children are underprivileged? I understand you going. Like, when I hear this story, I imagine them pulling up in the car and going to like a basketball court and seeing all these little kids play basketball and approaching the child and saying, hey, do you know who Bret Hart is? Do you want to meet Bret Hart? I can get you a job there.
Yeah, oh, that's basically what they did.
Yeah, let's go talk to your mom and dad. Oh, you only have a mom there? Oh, okay. Well, let's go talk to your mom then.
Yeah.
And then them going to the parents and promising them the world if we can basically take your child from you. Like, that's the way I envision it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, like, that takes a lot of effort, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let me read you the quote. This is a quote from Tom Cole in our interview with Wrestling Perspective back in the late 90s, 1999. Mel had a black book with names of kids from all over the country that he would call up if he would be in a specific town, and he would ask these kids if they would want to go to shows. You'd meet kids from every state. I'd go from New York to Philly, and he'd have young kids waiting for him. Boys at the shows, and he'd get 5, 6, and 7 kids. They'd go to Boston, and it would be the same thing, and maybe one or two of those kids would come with us, and they'd drive with us. It was the same motif he had with me. He'd call parents. They were always kids from broken homes. Once in a blue moon, you'd hear like a kid who came from a so-called stable environment. Most of it was kids from a broken home with no father, just a mother, drunk mother, alcoholic, drug addict, whatever. That's pretty much the type of kid that Mel was geared toward.
Man.
So he's a predator. I mean, obviously, he's a predator.
Yeah. That's heavy stuff. I mean, I just, you know, in a similar fashion, I just watched that Nick documentary.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that.
I forget what it's called. You know, those people were on set with these kids. So it was easy. Easier to be a predator because they were in charge of the children. Here, they're scouting. They're going to these cities and scouting young boys. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. And the parents would let them go on the road.
Yeah.
As a 13, 14, 15 year old kid. Like, oh my God. Never. I would never ever let my children. I can't wrap my head around this logic. I'm sorry.
And I grew up, you know, thinking the ring crew was the referees and some of the stage hands, you know, and guys that were just at the arena, you know, for the show.
Well, it usually was.
Right. And here it is. He's got this little van full of kids that are wow, I get to go to a wrestling show. And I'm sitting there going, where do I find this van?
I guess they're promised all this stuff. And, you know, little kids loving wrestling, being fans, they would jump at the chance. Being in the business, I know our ring crew was the same guys. We never had underage kids in the building. And if the guys came for a tryout, maybe they would help out. But these were grown men. They were always like 18 and over that, you know, would come for tryouts. I've never seen a child, be ring crew, not in ECW. Like, we never had that. So to me, this is blowing my mind. But again, you hit the nail on the head. That's what predators do. but to keep a blind eye to it, that's disgusting.
Yeah. And you know, Mel Phillips also in the revelations of this whole thing, you know, was revealed to have a foot fetish, and he would prey on these kids. And, you know, this was a thing for many, many years. So Mel Phillips immediately fired, gone during the Ring Boy scandal, gone, you know, so, and so was Patterson and Garvin, but the Mel Phillips one was the longest standing. He never returned to wrestling. Gone. Just
good. He deserves to be gone.
But now with Patterson,
did the office know this was going on?
Well, you know, you'd have to think they saw the boys. You know, and I've heard of wrestlers that have said they saw boys around, but they just didn't know to the extent of what or this, you know, despicable actions that were happening, but. Again, you know, if you're a kid and you're offered, especially during that, and this is another interesting little nugget to go along with it. This is 1992, okay? This is the beginning of the drop of the WWF. So up to 92, they are printing money, right? They are just, everything they touch is turning to gold. And in 90, it starts to go down a little bit. That's when the Ultimate Warrior becomes a champ, and people are starting to turn away. And then in 91, that's when they start hearing, oh, well, the Hulkster's starting to finally get booed. Maybe they're starting to turn their back on this thing we've been doing all these years. And by 92, that's where the fall off happens, and this hits. So they probably thought the world was crashing down around them. But with Patterson, so they get rid of Patterson, but they bring him back eventually. He's a quick...
Yeah.
Fire, but he's also a quick return. But with Murray Hodgson, I have a clip that we can play where there's confrontation between Vince and Hodgson on the Donahue show.
Sure. Before you play that, though, were there any of these, the children's families that sued when they found out what was going on? Did any of that ever happen with all these boys that were involved? Do we know of any families that actually sued the WWF?
I've never heard of anything having to do with that. The only one was Tom Cole.
Because how, as an adult, right? How many kids did this happen to?
Yeah.
It could be hundreds upon hundreds of children. That's trafficking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's what I said when this all started. If you recall, when this all started, I said, how has this not come to light all these years later? I don't know how they got away with this. Wow. Even over the steroid scandal and then and the payoffs and all the things we'll talk about. This is the one I don't know how they were able to kind of get around all these years. And where are all these kids that this happened to?
Yeah, what happened? And were they such did they not talk? Were they such closed lips that they never, you know, were they threatened? Don't speak of this. You know what I mean? Because they were too scared. But you would think one out of hundreds of children would have opened their mouths and said something. And the adults that were a part of this. Like I always say to myself, I have children. I would never want my kids to go through this. Do they have kids? Do they realize like their child? I mean, I know a lot of them are homosexual, but maybe they could adopt or I don't know. I'm just saying, like, if you have a child in your life that you care about, how can you do this to other people's children?
Yeah.
It's so disgusting. So sad. Oh, I'm so fired up right now. That's terrible. Absolutely terrible. All right, play your clip.
Well, let me just mention too. So, and then Terry Garvin was another, you know, another executive working with Pat Patterson. Like you said, they called him the right hand man. He was also, you know, involved with soliciting guys for sexual favors or, you know, liaisons. And Tom Cole, again, was the only guy who really came forward with this, was another guy, another victim of the advances of Terry Garvin. And he said Terry Garvin basically, you know, had a wife, and I believe he had kids that when they were out of town for the weekend wanted Tom Cole to come to his house and advanced on him. And Tom Cole said, no, I'm not into this. And
was Tom Cole of legal age?
At that point, Tom Cole was 19.
Well, okay, so this is a gentleman who apparently was bisexual, right? Liked women, liked men, has children of his own. Would he want his kids to go through this bullshit? Probably not. Because right. No one wants to see their kids in a compromising position. So how on earth, with good conscience, can he do it to somebody else's child? You know what I mean? Like, oh my God.
And Barry Orton, Randy Orton's uncle, also accused Terry Garvin of advances while they were driving on a trip, you know, from town to town, saying, you know, while you're driving, I'll take care of business for you if you'd like. And he just said, you know, I'm not that kind of guy. You know, no, thank you.
Pass.
But Barry Orton then cut off from WWF booking after that.
Well, didn't Paul Roma just give an interview and say he got fired like 2 days later or something?
Well, Paul Roma's partner, Jim Powers, was the one that really
it was Jim Powers. That's
he
right.
denied the advances of Pat Patterson.
Right.
And never survived. And I think he quit. No, I think he quit. Because they wanted him for years. Because Jim Powers was there from about 85 to 91, 92-ish. But he harassed for years.
Was it Paul Roma that was fired?
Paul Roma, to be blunt, what they said was Hercules said to Paul Roma that if my partner just fucked Pat Patterson or let Pat Patterson I'm just being blunt. This is what Paul Roma
very
said.
Blunt.
If he let him do that, then maybe we get a push.
Ah.
So...
But he was fired quickly, correct,
Paul? I don't think it was in relation to that. No, Paul Roma just had a bad attitude. Okay. That's why. And he wouldn't job to anybody. That's why Paul Roma was like, oh. But no, Jim Powers quit because they harassed Jim Powers. They just wouldn't stop. And
Powers was so pretty.
But somebody mentioned to me over time, you know, that Jim Powers just like would not be let alone and that he couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, good for
him. And Jim Powers, you ever talk to Jim Powers? He is just your typical Jersey dude, gruff voice. He ain't taking that shit. Like it's interesting. But let me play you this clip
of
Vince and Murray Hodgson. The clip's a little longer, so we'll edit where we can. I just want you to see the clip.
Okay. Yeah, because at the rate we're going, we're only going to get two stories.
Yeah. I'll edit around what I want you to see.
Okay.
Classic Phil Donahue show. Okay. This, if nobody's ever seen this episode, this is one of the greatest pieces of wrestling outside of wrestling television. In a talk show setting, this is one of the best hours in the history of outside of wrestling TV. All right, so this is, you see Vince McMahon sitting to the right.
Yeah.
And this is Murray Hodgson here to the left.
Does sexual harassment exists in your workplace?
I believe that there is a possibility of sexual harassment existing everywhere.
And I asked directly if it was in the World Wrestling Federation.
I don't want it in my organization. I don't want it.
I'd like to reiterate the question. Do you believe there is sexual harassment amongst the wrestlers or employees, the World Wrestling Federation, today?
There is a possibility of that. That's why I have these independent investigators to come in.
And who are these independent investigators?
Fairfax Group Limited. And I would like, to hear what you have to say and everyone has to say. I want to get to the bottom of it.
Would you therefore believe that because of all these allegations coming forward and more corroborating evidence proving that there's no doubt sexual harassment is running rampant in the World Wrestling Federation, that you are definitely going to come public and do something about it?
Why wouldn't I? If in fact that is the case, why wouldn't I do something about it? Why would I risk what we have?
Because you haven't done anything about it until it became public, because you thought it
was
underwater.
Because I had no knowledge of it.
I made knowledge of it to you when I was fired, and you just blew it off and let me go. I retained a lawyer.
You were fired because you were not very good. You were not a very good announcer. You could not. It's the only reason why you were fired. You could not make the transition from radio to television. That is the only reason why you were fired.
I would like to remind you, sir, that I have a two-year contract.
You also have a clause in your contract that states, and as you know, you were hired on a trial basis.
I was not hired on a trial basis.
Do you not have a contract?
Mr. McMahon, I have a two-year deal
in
with your firm.
In that contract, you will note, in a clause, it states very clearly, and I have it outlined for all to see here today, that you can be fired almost at whim. if in fact you're not doing a good job. You did a horrible job. That's the only reason why you were fired. That's it.
Maybe I should point out, first and foremost, that might be your inability to pick good talent.
It could be.
You had a national talent search, Vince McMahon. It could be. You advertised in Billboard magazine and across many different media sources searching for one man that could be the new face and voice of the World Wrestling Federation. You flew me in back and forth 4 and 5 different times from Detroit, and you chose over the course of 1 year of negotiations that I would be the man for that job. I didn't sleep with your vice president. 2 weeks later, I'm fired. I also want to point out one very important fact. From your office came a letter to my landlord to verify my employment. From that letter, I must bring this point up. It says Murray Hodson has a very secure job with Titan Sports and is a positive and productive employee. From your office, just because I don't sleep with your vice president, that qualifies to blow me out of a 2-year deal? I don't buy it.
Wow. Wow. Holy moly. I've never seen that in my life.
Is that not unbelievable?
That is unbelievable. I am shocked that Vince agreed to go on the show. Did he know that this was going to happen?
He knew who was going to be there.
Wow. And what was Vince's answer to that? Oh, now, you know what? Just
you want to let it go?
No. Oh, send me that. I want to sit down and watch that off air.
I believe he doubles down and just repeats what he said. I think he just doubles down.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That is mind blowing. Can you send me the link to that?
I will. I'll send you the whole hour if you want. I mean, it's a great hour.
I've never seen it before.
Yeah. So that's
amazing.
But that goes to show you that the cover ups went that far that a guy who left his place of business in Detroit, moved from Detroit to Connecticut. You know, that's what they do with those announcers.
Yep.
Denied in advance from, it was alleged to be Pat Patterson, was fired.
He's fired.
And there was his 2-year contract ripped up. Oh, there's a clause. You're gone. But he also did fire Pat Patterson. I think that's what he says next. He said, I did fire the executive. I think that's what he does say next. But it's just
claiming he was fired because he sucks.
Yes.
He sucks at his job.
Yes.
So why did you fire
Pat Patterson?
You know, it's strange. He spoke eloquently. That man has a wonderful voice. I can't imagine him being a sucky ring announcer. I mean, I probably heard him if I watched old clips, but he sounds wonderful to me.
He did like the event centers, you know, like the coming to, you know, the Madison Square Garden, you know, Hulk Hogan Voiceovers and Macho Man.
Yep. Wow. I want to definitely see that. And to go on national television and be like, I don't know. I'll get to the bottom of it. Come on.
Yeah. No, come off good. See, that's where, and he was by himself. He didn't have any legal representation sitting next to him. He was on his own, and he would do that. He'd go on Larry King by himself. You know, he would go in other media. He'd go on Howard Stern and take questions. Like, he had the ability to take those one-on-one situations. He was outnumbered like 15-1 on that show, and that's what's incredible.
My mind's blown on that because I've never, you know, I didn't become a fan till like the early 90s. So all this stuff earlier, I didn't know anything about. You know what I mean? And I wasn't a hardcore fan that I would know the insider info. So to see this, it blows my mind. And it's amazing because you don't see too many people stand up to Vince McMahon. And this guy wasn't backing down. And that's very, very, very attractive in a person. I like that. So good on him.
Yeah. And, you know, and then this, I think that this really was a part of that downfall that the company had, because then as you go into the 93, 94, 95, the doldrum years, just the business itself was just on a
complete
decline.
Amazing. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we spent a lot of time on one story. We really don't have time to get into the next one because it'll be too long. So,
we can continue. I mean, a little bit more with the Ring Boys, because in the New York Post, and I can give you a little bit more detail on that. this is where Vince McMahon began his just torrid feud with Phil Mushnick of the New York Post, which, look, when I was in high school and I was just a tried and true Vince McMahon apologist and defender, I did a whole report about my hatred for Phil Mushnick. But Phil Mushnick just went all in against the WWF. And he quoted Vince McMahon as when he questioned him about the Ring Boy scandal, as Vince saying that they found Mel Phillips to have a peculiar and unnatural relationship with children.
You think?
That's the quote from Vince McMahon.
Okay.
So, you know, Mushnick, again, just he had this just microscope and magnifying glass on top of the WWF and Vince, and would report on this stuff for years and would keep the narrative alive that what he would say is basically he would accuse Vince of being a child abuser, a child molester, a homosexual, a rapist, a miscreant. And these are things that he would continue to call him for years based off of these scandals that broke in 92.
So apparently the FBI in 2021 revealed that there was a videotape of Phillips.
Yes.
Molesting a boy in the ring before a WWF show, and also doing it the exact way the accusers had described. So they came forth, the accusers, and said this happened, and then there was a video to prove that it happened.
And I'm guessing, I'm guessing that's the foot fetish stuff. So that is incredible that there's video footage of that. And I don't know whether that's from the WWF master hard cam footage that they recorded every show, or if that's from somebody grabbing, you know, rogue early house show footage where they snuck in the giant tape recorder inside their locker room bag. Yeah. Well, I mean, hey, everybody used to do it.
Listen, if it was WWF film, they would have burned it. There's no way that they would have got rid of it. Don't you think?
Maybe they didn't notice it. Maybe it was just one of those hard cams that they find recording. Maybe they said we have to subpoena, you know, X number of hours of footage from this time to this time. And somebody had to literally comb through it.
The person that is responsible for the video footage probably got fired as well for not getting rid of it.
Or somebody just said, or it was the opposite of somebody had, you know, bootleg illegal footage where they said, you know, one day they were going through their Boston Garden 1988, you know, house show footage that they brought in a smuggled in VHS recorder. And so what the hell's that going on in the ring?
And then this Phillips guy was an indie promoter.
Yeah, so I never knew that, because I mean, I had the internet back then and I don't remember ever hearing anything about that. So that to
me, 1997,
don't remember that at all. That is an odd one. I don't remember that unless that was super duper local. I don't know anything about that.
Let me say something. There, and I know this because there are videos on it on YouTube. I'm a big fan of Your Mom's House with the comedians Tom and Christina, and they do a lot of curations off of TikTok and all this kind of stuff, and they show fetishes where, like, you can go to places and you can pretend you're a baby, or you can be dominated. Men can be dominated by females and all this kind of like fetish stuff, right? If you are into that kind of stuff, do it on your own time. Don't bring it to the workplace. Make work a safe environment for all that are involved. And then shit like this would not happen. I don't begrudge anyone except for the young boys. That's disgusting, and it should be off the table. But, you know, if somebody's like gay, or if somebody's into feet, or you're into something weird, who cares? We all have our fetishes, right? Everybody's into something out there. Do it on your own time. Don't do it at work. Even if you're attracted to somebody at work, keep it professional. You know what I mean? Like, it's such, the environment is toxic, and you wonder why people don't want to work in certain places. You wonder why there's all these stories coming out about certain things. Keep your fetishes outside of the friggin' workplace and you'll be fine. And again, I'm not advocating the young boy stuff. That is wrong. That is disgusting. 100%, you know, disgusted by that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all these fetishes. He liked feet. Okay, go look at somebody's feet outside of work. What do you get off at 9 o'clock, 9:30, go to the foot fetish store? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, get it outside of the workplace. Don't make these people feel uncomfortable. We should be hired for our talent in the ring, what we can do as athletes, as individuals, how we cut promos, how we carry ourselves. We should not be judged on whether we sleep with somebody or get on our knees for somebody, or take my shoes off and stick my foot in somebody's mouth. That's not what we should be judged on. We should be judged on our talent. And the more stories that come out, the more sick I get. Because a little tiny portion of that happened to me, and very, very tiny, and I got out unscathed and I'm fine. But to the men and women who had to suffer because of this bullshit, it's just, it makes me so angry. It should just be based on your talent and not what you do behind the scenes. That goes for wrestling. That goes for acting. That goes for singing. That goes for life. Life in general. That's the way I feel.
With that, to be continued.
I am fired up.
This is,
you know. This went on very long. I'm sorry.
Pandora's box. I mean, how can we How can we not? You know, you said this could be a 5-part series. This could be a 25-part series.
Look, but I mean, do you agree with me?
Yes, 100%.
It sucks because there are so many guys and girls who were talented and got fired and never got to show what they are capable of doing because they didn't want to succumb to, you know, backstage politics or sexual advancement or what, mind you. Get out of here. I'm so tired of it. So tired of it. It's ridiculous. And that's why I always say there's life after WWE. There really is. You know, the money might not be there, but everything else is. And you could look yourself in the mirror and be proud of what you see. So I don't know what else to say.
That's the ticket.
Wow. Okay. Well, I know. Well, we might do 87 more parts. If you like this one, leave us a comment. If you haven't followed us on iHeartRadio yet, please follow us or subscribe to us. Wherever you get your podcast, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, we'd really appreciate it. Tell your friends. If you see me on X or Instagram posting, please retweet it and or repost it, whatever they're calling it these days, and help spread the word. Because this is a passionate project of mine, and we want to see this channel grow. So appreciate the support.
Look at the last month. Devon, Chris Chetty, Perry Saturn, Scotty Riggs. I mean, how could you not get into just this last month worth of shows?
Yeah.
It's been an epic ride. So
absolutely. And we're just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, we have some time left. It's only been 4 months here on iHeart and we have a lot of time to go. So we just want to make the show bigger and better. If you have any suggestions, anyone you'd like to see, let us know. And again, we appreciate the input. So thank you.
Whew, man. All right. Yeah. Well, it's at Chad EMB on X, Twitter, whatever. And eyes up here on YouTube.
If you want to follow me on social media across the board, you can find me at ECW Diva Francine. I hope you are staying safe. I hope you're staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.